These mistakes are costing you money, your culture, probably your sanity. Most owners don't even realize that they're doing it. Most people that you're considering being a manager have never been a manager before.
There cannot be confusion. You need to replace confusion with clarity. That's actually one of the roles of the leader, is where there's confusion, you come in as the leader and you're like...
If you're working really hard to build a team that you can rely on, but most salon owners, even the best ones, make these same mistakes when hiring and leading a salon manager. They think the issue is finding a salon manager that can lead the team and maybe relieve some of that operational pressure. But maybe that's not actually the problem. Maybe it's you. You expect results, but then you end up taking back the role yourself. And now you're paying a salon manager while you're doing a salon manager job. You're still a stylist, you're trying to do the CEO role, and you're wondering why you're feeling a little bit exhausted. These mistakes are costing you money, your culture, probably your sanity. Most owners don't even realize that they're doing it. So in today's episode, Joel is joining me. We're going to unpack the biggest mistakes that salon owners are making with their salon managers, and we're going to show you exactly what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Joel?
I reckon it's a great topic. I was a manager for about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and I know what it's like to be the manager. And like you, Riss, I've been a business owner for many, many years as well. So I feel like I see both sides of the coin. But there's definitely some things, some mistakes that we need to be aware of. And should we just jump straight into it?
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah.
What do you think's like the biggest, like the first thing, the biggest first problem?
Well, I know this for myself as an owner, a team leader, in the part, and it's in every single leadership book that you've ever read, is like this thing about delegation. And often we abdicate as the CEO or owner, and we don't actually delegate. And what I mean by that is we let go of something and we just kind of like drop it on our manager's lap. And it's kind of like, it's yours. There's no modeling. There's no bridging. There's no feedback. There's no support. There's no plan at all.
But there is a bit of like, whew, thank God I got rid of that.
That's what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm supposed to give them the things to do so that I can do the other things. And I think there's a real distinction that we need to get clear about, like, what is abdication and what is delegation and what does that look like? And I think that if we can lean more towards delegating, the skill, the art, the system of delegating, what we actually get is an empowered manager.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we can delegate...
And not abdicate.
Drop it on their lap.
Don't
delegate. Give clear step by step. And I think when we do that, we need to really let them own the wins. Like if they do the job and they make a win, like they need to own that.
Yeah, make a big deal.
Like let them win, high five, give them the reward and the kudos. But also they need to own the loss.
Mm.
Like if they screw up, this is the bit that I find really hard, Joel. Is letting people go and letting them lose, like letting them make a mistake.
Yes.
And I have to be really careful in myself that I let that happen.
Yeah.
It's hard because I want to set people up for success, which is obviously the intent.
Yeah.
And we want to do that by delegating effectively. But they're going to screw up. And I think the biggest thing for me is when I can prepare in advance, they're going to screw up at some point. How am I going to deal with it when they do that?
Mm.
And, you know, have their back.
Totally. And also, how many losses did you go through to get to the point where, like, you wouldn't do it like that anymore? It's a little bit of grace.
For sure.
You know, a little bit of like, let's, you know, maybe they might screw it up or get it not quite right, like three times, and that's okay. So make sure that you've got the feedback, the support, the wrapping your arms around them as they learn and grow through what it means to actually win for themselves, but also for your business.
Three times and you're out.
Three times and you're out.
But you got to have the three times to level up. Okay, so if we delegate effectively, let them win and lose,
yeah,
not abdicate, what else? Like what else gets in the way of us helping managers be effective?
I think most of us are walking around in some way, shape or form confused. And I think with all of the other people in your life, it's okay, but not with your manager. Like, there cannot be confusion. You need to replace confusion with clarity. That's actually one of the roles of the leader is where there's confusion, you come in as the leader and you're like the clarity giver or mobilizer.
So not hashtag let them.
Do not let them.
Let them in your own family, not your manager.
Not your manager. Absolutely. 100% we should do a podcast on that. So here goes the narrative. The manager's like, oh, I thought it was your job. Like it hadn't been, they'd been abdicated, right? But it wasn't clear. Like there's a little bit of confusion. And then the owner is like, well, you're the manager. Like, didn't I tell you 6 months ago that I'm starting to make this transition up into CEO? You know, like, and what it really is like there's confusion between the two people and about who's responsible for what. And so how you replace confusion with clarity is you actually have to get your pen and paper out and like, what are the roles of management? What are the tasks? What are the things? And draw a line down the middle of the page. Put the things where they go. Like, just keep it real simple, but make sure we're really clear about that.
I think one of the reasons owners don't do that is that, like, one, I don't have the time to write the list. It feels like a really big task. But actually what you're suggesting is you co-create, but do it with your manager or your pending manager and start small.
100%.
Don't do it all at once.
Yeah, and just be really careful about that little line that goes, I don't have time to. Like, this is what you build a successful business on is role clarity. It is the fundamental number one rule of running a team is everybody needs role clarity. And that could not be more important for your aspiring and growing manager.
This gives you the time. You do this, you get the time back.
Yeah.
You said something just before that I reckon we know to be true, but it's not something that goes through your head as a salon owner when you're thinking about a manager, is communicating, if you do this, I can go and do that.
Mm.
So we can grow the business.
Yeah.
And I think it's important that we say that, like, you do this stuff so I can do that stuff so the business can go to the next place.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That's why you're here. That's your purpose of a manager.
We are essentially communicating the why. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a transparent culture. At SOC, we call it over-communication, right? We have a culture of over-communication because if it's not over-communication, it's under-communication.
Mm-hmm.
There is no perfect communication. Like, that's the downfall of humans, is like, we actually think we're great at communication, we're not that good. No. So over communicate for the purpose of clarity. I think that it's such an important mindset to have, because we are not in your brain. We don't know what you're thinking all the time.
Hey, it's me again. I just wanted to interrupt and jump in here quickly to say thanks for listening to the podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Just one question though. If you are listening to this episode and thinking, oh my God, this is me, but I'm just not sure what to do, well, don't worry. I've got some strategies for you. The Salon Mastery Program will help you develop and implement 100K team, 100K mindset, strategies and steps designed to help you lead your team to enjoy 100K careers and install the 100K mindset and motivation so you can help build that inside of your team. The systems, the processes to master the 100K day so you can build the $1 million salon. So I want to invite you to join me for a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll discuss your business, your role in the business. Let's see if I'm the right person to help you grow your business and your team. Together, we can reach the $1 million mark. All you need to do is click the apply now button in the show notes of this very episode. You're welcome to book a time, a strategy call. We'll have a chat. All right, that's enough for me. Let's get back to the episode. I want to speak to the, like, you don't need to, as Joel would say, boil the ocean. You don't need to do everything at once.
Mm.
Most people that you're considering being a manager have never been a manager before. Like, there's a really small percentage of people in our industry who have management experience, which means that you really need to start them from ground zero as a manager. So just start with one task, like just start running the morning huddles, or just make sure that you deal with the confirmation calls and any sick clients, and like just one task, let them get really good at that before you give them the next thing. Like, you don't have to write this massive job description, give it to them on a doc and then wonder why they don't start doing it. Like, that is abdication at its best. Start small. And I think particularly as working woman, especially if you're a mum, because you are wired to like just do everything for everybody,
mm-hmm.
and we shouldn't. Just do one thing. Just do one thing at a time. Hand it over. We're not superwoman. Speaking from experience, I had that. I thought I was superwoman, not because I thought I was super cool, super special, but because I just never occurred to me that I couldn't do all the things.
Yes.
So one thing at a time is quite
important. Yeah. And when you think about superwoman or superman, if you've ever watched, like they're doing one thing at a time really well.
True.
And so let the manager do one thing really well. Celebrate that, reinforce that, systemize that, edify that, lift that up, so that then you move to the next piece of the management role with confidence and clarity, as opposed to, oh, you're doing okay, that's I'm going to throw more at you and more at you and more at you.
That's
it's almost like you're trying to break someone down.
That's really hard, because probably as the owner, you're trying to get rid of more and more and more so you can do the things. Like
yeah.
there's a sense of urgency, got to move shit off my plate so yeah. I can do the next thing, which I want to speak to. One of the things that stops us from having a salon manager or empowering a salon manager is that it creates a bit of an identity crisis in the back of our head about, well, if she does that, what do I do? Ooh. And I want to encourage you that, like, it's okay for you not to know what to do. Mm-hmm. I spoke before of, like, manager, you do this so I can do that and grow the business. Sometimes we don't know what that is, especially if we haven't worked in a business that has been bigger than we are now.
Yeah.
So how do we give away tasks, responsibilities, when we seemingly are going to be like, well, then I've got nothing to do.
Mm.
I just have to go home and, you know, look after my children, or do I go to the gym now? And then that just actually creates apathy, like no purpose, no drive. And then we're like, well, I'm not even in love with my business. Anyway.
Can I just look? So this is why community is so important. Doesn't matter what industry you're in, like being able to surround yourself with other professionals at your level that are playing the game, both below you, same level as you, and above you.
Mm-hmm.
Like we recently went to Fiji, and owners there are literally hearing from other CEOs and business owners that have already walked the path of getting through identity crisis, mm-hmm. letting go of being the stylist, being the therapist, being the business owner, and truly stepping into a respected salon CEO that runs a business that's team-led, but then re-engineering purpose in areas that are really meaningful. Like people have done that before you, and all you need to do is spend a little bit of time with those people and be like, oh, I'm going to adopt that. That would work for me.
That's right. It's really creating space like to go and investigate and go and learn what's next. Because the space or the gap when you don't know, that's what feels scary. So I'm encouraging you, like, take the step, free fall in the empty space, and then go and look for what's next, the community, the people to learn from.
Yes.
Okay. So if we can do all of those things and get, you know, stop being superwoman, create some space, delegate effectively, then what else? Maybe we need to think about how do we remunerate?
Yes. Yeah. I think, you know, a little brain tattoo for all of us that are running businesses is like, you should pay your manager like a pro, like a professional. I read a book about 10 years ago called Turning Pro by Stephen Pressfield. And it's such a good book. It's like 100 pages. You can read it in like an hour. It's so good. Like some of us are just playing the game of business a little bit like an amateur. It's almost like a little bit like a hobby. Like I like it and it gives me some things, but I'm not fully committed. I'm like a professional, you know? And I think that's a real shift that some of us will need to make very soon or in the future. And I think part of that is actually looking at your manager and going, well, this is the vision that I have for my manager in terms of them being respected, them upholding the systems, them leading the team. So I need to remunerate them professionally because I'm expecting a professional output. So I need an input professional. And one of the things that we talk about here, which growth mindset, which many people have heard of would not be happy with Joel right now, but we want to complement the effort. So when they show up and they go the extra mile and they're staying a bit later or they're helping people out, like all of that effort, let's complement that and encourage that and give a lot of heart to that. But what you remunerate and when you pay them professionally, that should be based on results.
Mm-hmm.
The outcomes that they are able to produce for the business that makes the business better, because it's the business that looks after the people. Mm-hmm. So the manager has to contribute to the business.
Okay, I really like that because it's tangible. It It's tactical. They can see I either made it or I didn't make it. I get the money or I didn't get the money. Because I think too often we pay people because we're scared they'll leave. We like them. We want them to like us. We want to feel kind. And we want to reward effort. I saw her. Well, now she has the responsibility. I haven't seen her do the thing yet, but I gave her the title. I need to pay the money.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're proposing, like, hold your horses.
Yeah, don't be...
Get clear.
Yeah, like, be forward in acknowledging and seeing the effort. But if you start remunerating people based on effort, then all they have to do is stay longer and put out effort. But we live in a world now where, like, it's so important that we reward results, and that effort can be redirected into results. You just need to make sure that you maintain the narrative, that you complement effort, but you pay on results.
I love that. As we work towards wrapping up, Joel, I want to speak to, like, you can't grow a business alone. Like, I reckon you can get to 500K a year alone. Just you, maybe a little bit on the floor, managing a couple of team members, stylists or therapists. But we don't think you can get from 500 to a mil alone. Like, you need to have a team with you, leading with you, because you're not superwoman. You can't do all of the things. It's more fun doing it together. But I think in this industry, we somehow we take that what got us from zero to 500K a year, we take that same mentality from 500 to a million, and then we wonder why it's really hard and we don't get there. We can't do it alone.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to double the size of your team, and we need to build a team around us, whether we co-create, bring them in to help create, you know, the journey, or whether we formally put in a leadership team, a manager, multiple managers, maybe mini roles. But we can't do it alone.
We cannot do it alone.
We might be superwoman, but or supermen, but we're actually not. That's not the smart way to do it. So if you need help developing a leadership program, we have a manager's program inside of Salon Mastery. So if you're doing anywhere from 10K, you know, that's around the 500K a year mark, or maybe 13K, and you want to get to the million, reach out. We can help. Maybe you're already at a million and you're starting to stall a little bit and you need to strengthen your leadership program or your management team. The focus for you once you're a million is, like, how do we optimize and double profit? So double revenue until we're at the million, double profit once we're at a million. That should be the goal. So if you want help with that, you're very welcome to book a call. Let's have a strategy session. Let's talk about that. You know where to find me. You can find me on the DM or the dub dub. And otherwise, that's ciao for now.
Thanks, Russ.
Until next week.